Welcome to another life-changing teaching by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. For more information about Pastor Jerry's teaching and ministry, please visit jerrydierman.com.
Believe I've got one from the Lord for you today. Galatians chapter 6. Your Bible ought to start falling open right there. Galatians 6, we've been on this. I believe this is the sixth week straight. A few weeks ago, I had somebody tell me after the services, "Pastor, you stopped preaching today and you started meddling." And that's an old phrase that's used just to say you started getting personal on us, started messing with our lives and such. Well, I believe that would fit today too. just to give you forewarning, and I know this because it messes with me. I mean, the Word of God is for all of us. Isn't it awesome how somebody will get up, regardless of who it is, and when you teach the Word of God, especially if you prayed and allowed the Holy Spirit to do it, the Holy Spirit customizes that message for every individual. Only the Holy Spirit knows how it applies to each person. So how many of you are listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you today? Amen. All right. Let's all read this text, this foundational text. In Galatians chapter 6, beginning at the 7th verse, we'll read through the 9th verse. I'm reading from the New King James. If you didn't bring that particular translation, that's okay. But follow along on the screen so we can all read the same words. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Let's read. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Now, I want to go back to this 7th verse and show you what God wants me to talk about today. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Now listen. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now I want you to notice the tenses here. It says that whatever a man sows, that he will. Well, sows, what tense is that? Is that the past tense? That's present tense. Whatever a man sows. But notice this, that he will. What tense is that? That's the future. This verse is telling you what's in your future. Is that right? How many of you like to know what's going to happen in the future? I like to know. I like to have somebody say, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Well, I don't like to be forearmed, but that's not what that means, right? To be forewarned means that you can get ready. You can arm yourself. You can prepare yourself for what's coming up. See, being forewarned. I like to know what's coming in the future. This verse tells you what's coming in your future, doesn't it? Look what it says. For whatever a man sows, present tense, that he will, future tense, reap. I want to talk to you about the key to the next level. How many of you want to go to the next level in various areas of your life? In your relationships, in your health, in your finances, in your self-confidence? How many of you want to go to the next level? I don't know about you, I want to go to the next level. I don't want to stay stagnant. I don't want to stay where I am. I want to go to the next level. Well, I'm going to talk to you about the key to the next level. Listen, the key to the next level is this level. Are you listening to me? The key to the next level is this level. Listen to it again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, present tense, this level, that he will reap. See, the key to getting to the next level is what you do on this level. The key is not praying to get to the next level. Are you listening to me? God, get me to the next level. God, get me there. No, here's how it works. Don't be deceived. This is how it works. Whatever you sow on this level, you'll reap at the next level. But if you don't sow something in this level, don't expect to reap it in the next level. Is that right? Isn't that what it says? See, he's telling the future right here. Whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. And I want to talk to you about this in four ways, from four different angles. First of all, angle number one, sow today, reap tomorrow. And I want to start here in Ecclesiastes 11. Let me read this to you, beginning at the first verse. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth." Notice what he says. He says, you don't know what's going to come down the pipe next year or next month. You don't know what's going to happen. You think you know, but you don't know. So notice what he says to do. Because you don't know what's going to happen in the future, then you deal with today. You cast your bread out on the water. It's like, have you ever gone out to the beach and you took a stick or something and threw it out and the waves will bring it back? Well, it doesn't come back in 5 seconds unless you got a weak arm. You cast it out there and eventually that thing will come back in. Well, what happens if you took bread, you know, big lumps of bread and threw it out there? Well, the waves would bring that back in. What happens if you just continue to throw lump after lump after lump after lump or loaf after loaf after loaf? Well, eventually every wave is going to be bringing something back in. Isn't that right? See, and he's trying to tell us here, get your bread out there today. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The next verse 2 says, give a serving to seven and also to eight. Well, that could mean a couple of things. That could mean, hey, give seven, that's the fullness. But give a little extra. Give a little extra. Why? Because you don't know what's going to happen. It could also mean to diversify. Don't only help one person. Man, help a lot of people, because if you help seven, you help eight people, then what if you go through a bad time? You're going to have people that are come to your aid because you've already given to them. Amen? Amen? See, there's a giving and receiving here. And so the Bible says, don't wait until you need it to sow. Sow today so you can reap tomorrow. Now listen to the third verse of Ecclesiastes 11. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if a tree falls to the south, or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Isn't that a great verse? Thinking, man, the Bible, God's so smart. Wherever a tree falls, there it is. And you're thinking, what is that talking about? Why would they put that in there? What he's saying is, listen, and he's talking about the evil that comes. Because stuff happens to everybody. Just because you got saved, just because you gave your life to Jesus, doesn't mean bad stuff doesn't come. Stuff happens. What he's saying is, you don't know what's going to come or when it's going to come, but just know this. When the cloud gets full of rain, it's going to rain. Stuff's going to happen. And you don't know whether the tree is going to fall to the north or the south, but whatever it falls, there it is. And how many of you know a big tree is hard to move? So what is he saying? He's still in this same thought process of sowing and reaping. He's saying, don't wait because you don't know what's going to happen. You may have an obstacle fall in your path. You could have gotten through that passageway if you'd have done it yesterday. But since you waited until today, now that opportunity's gone. He said, man, if you've got opportunities, take them. If you can sow, sow today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. Notice the next verse. Verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. What does that mean? That means that some people are waiting for perfect conditions. Well, I assume, you know, right now, it's kind of tough because, you know, I could do that, but, you know, it'd be kind of hard. But I think I'll wait. Well, what are you waiting for? Well, you know, it looks like, you know, it's windy. It looks like something, a storm could come. So I'm just going to wait and make sure that a storm's not going to come. And then, you know, if it doesn't come, then, you know, I'll jump up and, well, see, it could be windy for days and weeks and those opportunities to sow go by. No, he said, if you're observing the wind, if you're paying attention to circumstances and you're waiting until everything's perfect, then I'm going to do it. Then I'm going to sow. Then I'm going to cast my bread on the water. He said, you're not going to sow. You're not going to sow. No, if you're looking at the clouds, you won't reap. You may have a harvest there. You won't reap. I'll get to that in the next week or two, talking about reaping. See, don't wait for perfect conditions. Man, when God speaks to your heart to do something, do it. Get on it. Now's the time. Now's the time. Because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Verse 5 says, as you do not know the way of the wind or the bones Or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. In other words, you don't know everything God's thinking, and you don't know what all's coming down the pike. So when you have an opportunity to sow, and the Lord's speaking to you to do it, now's the time. Seize the opportunity. Seize the moment. So see, angle number one is, you've got to sow today so you can reap tomorrow. Let me give you angle two. Make the most of what you have. Make the most. Now I'm talking to you about the key to the next level. The key is this level. This level is where you are right now. Make the most of what you have. Listen to this passage in Matthew 25. How many of you remember when Jesus was given this parable? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a guy, a master, who gave some talents to his servants and he went away to a far country. Remember that? And to one he gave five, to another he gave two, and to another he gave one. Okay? After a long time, he comes back to settle accounts and to see how these guys did with the money that he'd given them. So notice here in Matthew 25:20, it says, so he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, you greedy thing. Didn't I already give you five? You had to have five more, didn't you? You had to have more. You ever notice that's not how Jesus? How many of you know the master that Jesus was talking about was himself? He's the one that came and delegated things to us and went away to a far country and he's coming back. Isn't this Master Jesus? Somebody, is my mic on? Hello, hello, hello. Test 1, 2. Is this guy Jesus?
Yes.
He is Jesus. You are there, all right. He's Jesus. And listen to the way that he responds. Listen to what he said. He didn't say, you greedy thing. I gave you five, you had to have more. No, he said, well done. Good and faithful servant. But listen. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Oh, you got to get this. Listen. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you a few things and you were faithful at the level of a few. So now I'm going to make you ruler over many. See, a lot of people, they're praying, Lord, make me ruler over many. God, bring me up to that next level. And the Lord is saying, I'm not going to do it because you're not faithful with what I've given you. Yeah, but this ain't no big deal right here. Right? This ain't no big deal, right? But Lord, if you busted me up to this level, then I'd step up, then I'd be faithful. I would be faithful right there, God. Because then you know everybody would be looking at me and all. You know, I'll be more popular. Got that position, got that title, or whatever it is that's on your mind. Got some more money, and then I'd be faithful with it, God. God, Lord, you give me more money, I'll tithe. God said, man, you can't tithe when your tithe is $100. How are you going to tithe when your tithe is $100,000? Right? See? Listen, you were faithful over the few, I'll make you rule over many. The key to the next level is this level. What are you doing with what God has given you now? Are you listening to me? What are you doing with what God has given you right now? See, God gave him a few and he was faithful. And so Jesus said, because you were faithful over that few. Well, the same thing with the guy with two. He gave him two. And the guy came back and said, Lord, you gave me two. I gained two more. And he said the same exact thing to him that he did to the guy with five. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say, you know, he got five more. You only got two. No, this guy had produced double the same as the guy with five. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. He said, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But what happened to the third guy? He came and said, Lord, you gave me one talent. And I knew the kind of guy you were, God, that you were a hard man. How many of you believe that God's a hard man? No. He said, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. It's not true. Had Jesus, had the master not sown and given them talents? He had. He wasn't trying to reap where he'd not sown. He had sown. He had given the money to them, sown the seed. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. And so I took your money and I hid it in the ground. And look, I got the same amount that you gave me before. And what did Jesus say? Oh, I'm so glad you still have that. I'm so glad you didn't lose it. No, what did he say? You wicked and lazy servant. You know what? Let me tell you, listen. God wants to reap off of his harvest. And God doesn't want one for one. You know, somebody comes up to me and says, oh, Pastor, listen, I got a great investment for you. You know, here it is. And I look at it, it's all legit. Everything's right on. Hey, listen, Pastor, if you put $10,000 in here, man, in 6 months, I'll give you $10,000 back. Well, why would I do that? I just keep it, right? I don't want the same amount that I put in. Do you want the same amount? How many of you want the same amount? Nobody wants the same amount. God doesn't want the same amount. Jesus said, I don't want the same amount. I want to sow and get back more. So what Jesus is looking for us to do is, what have I given you? What are you doing with that? Is it better, bigger, and more? Is it producing more for the kingdom of God and more for my children than it was when I gave it to you? Or is it at the same level or maybe even deteriorating, not even doing as much as when I originally gave it to you? See? So what happened to this guy? He said, take the talent from that guy and give it to the one who has how many? 10. Well, you would think, well, Jesus, wait a minute, Jesus, you know, don't give it to that guy because he's got 10. At least give it to this other guy, he's only got 4. You know, even it out. Let me tell you, God doesn't play even. This is not socialism. Listen to me, you need to catch this in the kingdom of God. God is looking for a return on his investment. God is going to bless and give to people who are good with what he gives, who take what he gives them and they're faithful with it. And God said, man, this guy over here, I got 5 talents off of him. Man, I'm going to give it to him. Why? Because, man, he's able to function at a higher level. You think, well, the guy with 4 is too. Yeah, but he's saying, if this guy's already at the 5 level, I'm going to give it to him. Somebody said, well, that's not fair. That's the way it works, though. He who has, to him more will be given. Isn't that what the Bible says? See, if you don't understand the ways of the kingdom, God is saying, I'm judging you based on what you're doing right now with what I've already given you. And if you're not handling well what I've already given you, then why would I give you more? Because I want it. Because I need it. No, that's not the way it works. God doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith, and he responds to faithfulness. You've been faithful over a few, so I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Listen to Luke 16, verse 10. Jesus says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. I've heard people say before, well, you know, right now, you know, I'm cheating a little bit on taxes and I'm not really tithing. I'm not really doing all that I'm supposed to do, but it's because I don't have much. But once God blesses me, see, and once it starts rolling in, then I'm going to be faithful. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you're unfaithful in the little, then you're going to be unfaithful in the much. If you're compromising now, you'll compromise at the next level. That's why he doesn't want to take you to the next level, because the compromises get bigger. But it comes from the same heart. Was I right when I said meddling was going to happen today? Amen. But isn't this what we need to hear? See, I don't know about you. I want to hear the truth that'll get me to the next level. I want to bring glory to God. I want my life to be a testimony. I want to be able to influence people with my life. I can't do it as well as God wants me to if I don't go to the next level. So what do I have to do? I got to change what I'm doing this level so that I can get to the next level. Amen. Thank God, and God will trust me. God will trust me. You know, sometimes we'll say, man, I'm believing God for a new car. I want God to give me a new car. Well, how are you taking care of the car that you have that God gave you? Don't look at it. See, when I get a new one, then I'm going to start taking care of it. When's the last time you changed the oil in your car? Well, see, you know, it's just a piece anyway. You know, I mean, it's ready to fall apart. No. Yeah, but how many of you know that the Bible says you've got to be faithful with what you have? Is that right? That doesn't mean you got to go invest lots of money and do things that would not be being a good steward to do, but you need to take care of it. You need to change the oil. Get it washed every once in a while. Is that right? Hey, how many of you know it? Florence Littauer wrote a book that said, it takes so little to be above average. It takes so little to be above average. And I know just when I pull in to the garage at night, so often the family's been in there, the kids have been in there, and before I leave the car, I just want to look around and see, okay, what kind of trash and mess and socks or clothes or something is in here. You know, I'm tired, I don't really feel like doing it, but it just takes, maybe a minute, 1 minute, to turn around and to grab whatever. Could be McDonald's wrappers, God forbid, or Taco Bell or something, you know. And you never know what's going to be in there when you have kids. How many of you know that's true? I'm telling you, and you just grab it all, bring it over, throw it in the trash can, bring it up to the room. But you know, it just takes a little bit, but if you'll just make it a habit, just take care of it, then when you get into your car, you'll feel good about it. But when you get in there and you let it go and let it go and let it go, you don't even like the car anymore. You don't even like to drive it. Why? Because it's a mess all the time. It just takes so little. But see, it's a part of a principle to say, you know what? If I want to be at that level, then I've got to start taking care of this level. I need to be faithful with what God has given me and show appreciation to the Lord for how it is. I remember when I've told you how the Lord had given me some blessing and promotion in my life, and I went from being a youth pastor at a local church to being a national youth minister. Let me fill in some of that a little bit. When Kim and I were youth pastoring at the church that we were at, man, I mean, we gave our lives to that. We were not aspiring to move forward. We were not aspiring to be promoted or to go somewhere else. We really believed that God could bless us and leave us right there, and that youth ministry would continue to grow and expand, and we'd be able to reach thousands of teenagers in that youth ministry. And people would ask us, do you ever see yourself being a senior pastor? And I'd say, you know what? At this point, I don't. I had nothing in my heart. Nothing that the Lord had spoken to me or impressed me about that. We were just so passionate about those kids. Now, there were some other youth pastors that I knew, friends and so on, and some in particular that started the same time that I did. But you could tell that their heart wasn't in what they were doing. And they were always up at the national office, always helping the national leader, always trying to be at the national level and to help that thing go. And it was exciting. Of course, that's not a bad thing to be participating. We always participated in their events and such because we're a part, and they did some really good things anyway. And so it was helpful to us. But they were always, you know, instead of being there, they were taking time off of work and their ministry to be up there and help that national level. And it was like they were aspiring. That's where they wanted to be. That's where their heart was. But on the level that they were over, it wasn't happening. It just never did get off the ground. Never would expanded, and it never expanded and grew. And ours, man, the Lord blessed us, and ours was flourishing, and kids were getting saved and getting delivered from drugs and getting into discipleship, and they were bringing their friends and they were getting saved. It was just a flourishing and a growing thing, and not only growing numerically, but spiritually. It's just powerful what was happening. Well, in the process of time, I've told you the story before from different angles, that the Lord took us from that local level and put us up at the highest youth position in the denomination at the national level. Now, how did that happen? Did that happen because I was campaigning? No. Was I sending out flyers? No. Did I make some phone calls to, you know, meet the right people? You know, some people say you got to sell yourself. I sold myself to no one. Listen to what I'm saying. God dealt with me very strongly before I got into the ministry. You will not promote yourself. You will not do that. I tell you what I was doing. I was doing what God told me to do. And when it came time for them to make a decision on who was going to take the helm of the national level, they looked for somebody that was doing well where they were. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Not somebody who wanted to be up here, but what they'd already been given wasn't producing. No, they looked for somebody that was producing where they were. They said, now, if he can do that there, and he bring it over here and do that up here, we'll be in business. We'll be in business. I mean, we'll be down the road. See, that's the key. The key is not looking up there as where you want to be, and know it. Be faithful with what you have. Be faithful with your, do all that you can with what you have. Make the most of what you have right now. Make the most of what you have right now. Listen to Ecclesiastes 9:10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. It's kind of a morbid scripture, isn't it? But he's saying, while you've got the opportunity, give it all you've got. How many of you remember Jesus had 5,000 people plus women and children to feed? And the disciples said, Lord, send them away. They're hungry. They're going to faint if you don't send them away to get something to eat. He said, you give them something to eat. They said, Lord, that would take 200 denarii or more to feed all these people. And listen to what Jesus said. What do you have? Listen, not how much can we get. What do you have? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Bring it to me. And he took what he had, blessed it, and broke it, and the power of God went into operation and met the need. Listen, I believe with all of my heart, the key is not what you can get in the future. The key is what you have. What do you do with what you have? And a lot of people take what they have and they'll curse it instead of bless. Jesus blessed it. They'll look at it and say, that's not enough. It's not enough. We're going to look like idiots. Don't pass this out. Because you know the first row is going to get a little something, and then the next row they're going to be throwing rocks at us. No, you don't take it and curse it. You take it and bless it. You say, Lord, this is what you've given me. I'm going to, in faith, do everything I can do with this. Amen. You see the key? See the key? See, it's the loaves and the fishes principle. Some of you are young mothers. You have small children. And a lot of times, if you don't watch it, you'll get into your head that because you've got small children that are so needy at that age, you're missing out on life. You're missing out on the next level. And so your mind begins to think, well, these children are in my way. These children are holding me back from being who I'm supposed to be. And so then you begin to figure out how you could set them aside, shove them aside to get on with what the Lord has called you to do, not realizing that the key to the next level is what God has given you right now. This is the only opportunity you have to invest into their lives, to sow into them. And so you need to cast off that fear that you're not going to be able to be everything God has called you to be, or to get down the road, or whatever it is, have the relationship. And you need to say, Lord, I'm going to be faithful with what you've given me right now. I'm going to be faithful right where I am. Because you may not relate and figure out how the children connect to what it is that you believe God has for you in the future. But let me tell you, it connects in the heart of God, because that's what you've been given right now. Amen. See that? So you need to be careful not to miss the opportunity that's right there. And cast that care and say, no, I'm doing what I'm called to do right now. This is what I'm called to do right now. And you'll never regret it. And God sees that. And let me tell you, He'll see your faithfulness right there. And He'll open some doors to you. He'll say this, you were faithful with your children. I'm going to make you faithful with my children. Many of them. See that? That's the principle. So pay attention to what God has given you to do right now. Proverbs 13:23. This is a great verse. Listen to this. There is much food in the fallow ground of the poor. There is much food in the fallow or uncultivated ground of the poor. What does that mean? You go to a guy's house. You know, of course, this is back in farming culture. And there's a poor person desperate for finances, desperate for provision, and their ground is uncultivated. There it is sitting there, overgrown with thorns. And they're poor, they're needy. And God says, there's a lot of food in that ground. There's a lot of provision right there in their own backyard. It's right there. But they don't see it. How many of you know that there are people who can see opportunities with finances, and they could switch places with you, take on all of your debt, all of your bills, your house, your car, all of the financial situation that you're in right now. And in a matter of, a year, they can have you completely out of debt, have money in the bank, an investment going on, making money, maybe be in business for themselves. How many of you know that's true? We don't like to admit that. We like to say, no, I'd be doing better, but this or that, you know, this circumstance. We don't like to admit it, but there are people that see opportunity that we don't see. And God says here, there's a lot of food in the fallow ground. In other words, what He's saying is, what I've already given you will produce. If you'll sow into it, if you'll seize the opportunity, it will produce. It'll work. Don't say, well, if I had more, if I could do that, if I could be there, then. He said, no, right now. Right now. Look what I've given you. Look what I've given. Larry Burkett tells a great story of a missionary that spent years and years on the mission field. And when he got back, he didn't have enough retirement to even pay rent. I mean, he had like a couple hundred dollars a month. And so he asked Larry if he'd sit with him. And Larry started asking him, well, what are you going to do? You know, what income do you have? And they realized, man, this guy is sunk. He'd been giving his life to the Lord all these years and had no money. And so Larry said, well, let's talk about some things. What are you good at, or what do you know about? Well, and they went through a lot of different things. And one of the things they came on was that this guy, when he was overseas, would collect something called Hummels. Anybody know what a Hummel is? Some kind of collectible. Well, he learned all about those things, studied them and learned and enjoyed all those things while he was out on the mission field and overseas. And so Larry Burkett said, why don't you do this? Why don't you just put an ad in the paper and say, I buy Hummels. And so he did. And so people started calling him, and man, he got some tremendous deals because he had about $1,800 in the bank. And Larry said, spend that $1,800 and buy all you can get great deals. And so he did. And so he came back, Larry, he said, all right, I bought a bunch and he's got some good deals. And Larry said, okay, put an ad in the paper that says, I sell Hummels. Well, he made a bunch of money off of those just that fast. Well, so he did it again and started doing it again and doing it again and doing it again. And within just a couple of years, that guy was making over $200,000 a year off of that little side business. Missionary. Couldn't figure out what to do. But see, he had something and just needed the wisdom of what to do. How many of you know that God can give you a word of wisdom that'll change your whole situation, right? Without a dollar extra. Without a dollar. I've talked to some people, you know, that just go. One lady man, she was going through a tough time and she listed off all the bad stuff that was happening. And I was ready to cry. Oh, man. That's bad news. But as we talked, I said, well, what about this? What about this? All of a sudden, there were about three different opportunities that she could have pursued that would help the situation. And you know, every one of those, she said, nah, I don't want to do that. Well, yeah, but you got to do something. And look, you could do this. Nah, I don't really want to do that. No, I don't really want to do it. She didn't want to do anything. What she wanted was, just give me money. I just want money. Well, yeah, that money will help a little bit right now. But if you don't start pursuing these opportunities and options that you have, then you're going to end up in the same mess again, maybe worse. See? So what's the key? The key is make the most of what you have. Third, serve the way you want to be served. Serve the way you want to be served. Listen to Luke 16:12. Jesus said, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Listen to me. If you haven't been faithful in what's another man's, who will give you your own? Kimberly's been saying for years that the Lord spoke to her many years ago and said, Kimberly, the way you serve your leaders now is the way other people are going to serve you in the future. So if you're serving them with your whole heart and talking good about them to their face, behind their back, being integrous, then I'll bring people to you that'll do the same thing. But if you're duplistic, if you're a two-face, if you suck up to their face, but behind their back, you're being opinionated and critical, he says, that's the harvest you'll reap. Listen to what Jesus said. If you're not faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you your own? I remember when I was working at the grocery store, I was working night crew for a while. And somehow, the Lord helped me to tap into what was going on in my manager's heart. The store that I worked at was a low-volume store. Didn't have a lot of business, and so it was hard to turn a profit. And my manager was always under pressure. He was always like in a bad mood because he was under pressure because he was trying to get this store to go. I mean, this is his first store he's managing, and it's his opportunity to show the company that he can do it, and it's just not cutting gross, and he's trying. And so we always had a lack of employees, just didn't have enough staff, skeleton crew all the time. So the pressure was high. Got to work, got to work, got to work, got to work. It was just intense. way more stressful than it should have been. But somehow the Lord helped me to tap into what was going on in his mind and heart, and I could see what he was trying to do. Where most of the other people that were working there, they didn't see it. All they saw was how it affected me. And so, when we worked at night crew, sometimes we'd have 450, sometimes up to 500 cases that each individual has to get out of the boxes, get on the shelf, then face the whole shelf up, and get the cardboard all out of the way, and you got to do that in 8 hours. Because if you don't do it in 8 hours, now you're into overtime, and now you're costing money. And so the manager would come in about 6 in the morning, and he'd walk down each aisle, and he'd look, and he's not looking to be personal. He's looking to see, am I going to have to pay overtime? And somehow I tapped in and I understood what he was thinking. And the Lord put it on my heart to help him. Now this is the guy that hired me. See, now let me tell you something else too. I was a part of a union because that's the way, it's the way it was set up. So you're part of the union. A lot of people end up working for the union instead of the person that pays them. And I don't say that unions are all bad and everything they do is bad, but there's some parts of that that's bad. Because it protects the lazy. The people that are not hustling. And there's some people that just ride on the tails of the union and say, I'm not pushing myself. I'm not killing myself. Hey, if they want to get it done, they can do it. And they're just going to walk slow. Do-dum, 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 do-dum. And the reason they do that is because they've got a union protecting them. Well, let me tell you something. That's not right. That's not right. That's not who hired you. And somehow I got this in my head and I could understand what my boss was going after. And so many, many times, I would say most of the time, I wouldn't even clock out. I just walk up when I got all done with my stuff. I could have been an hour over. But I just walk up to my time card and I just write in there 6 o'clock. You know why I did that? Because I wanted to help him. I wanted to help him, no overtime. And I know every week he never said a word to me. Never said a word about it. I know every week he looked at it and thought in his heart, he's helping me. He's helped me. But the other guys, I'd hear him say, I'm not working a minute off the clock. They're going to pay me for everything. See, it's all about me. See, it's all about me. See? But I remember they came and said, my manager called me and he said, you interested in carrying keys? That meant management. You interested in management? You know why? Because I wasn't all about me. He saw that I wanted the company to be blessed. I wasn't taking advantage. In fact, I would take a loss many times so that the company might be able to cut a gross. Let me tell you, this is a key to going to the next level. Some people are I'm going to get all I can get. Take advantage of the company. I remember one businessman, he was successful making big money in this business. But I remember they told him, hey, since you're driving a lot, part of your package is we're going to pay for your gas. Well, you know what he did? They had a pump right there on the lot. What he did was he had these teenage boys that all had their own vehicles and such. And he'd drive a different car to work every day. And every week he's filling up the whole family. Well, you know what? If the business says that's fine, well, then that's fine. But if that's not what they said, that's taking advantage. That's stealing from the company. Amen. Amen. See? And so sometimes some people think in their heads, I can rip the company off and somehow I deserve to be in charge of the company to help it to succeed. Well, how can you be trusted to help the company succeed when you're ripping it off? Well, I won't do it when I get up there. See, when I get up there, then I'm going to... No. No, that's not the way it works. It's right here. It's right where you are. I really believe with all of my heart that he who behaves like a leader will eventually become one. I believe it with all of my heart. He who behaves like a leader will eventually become one. But he who behaves like just somebody way down, a low-level employee, can just stay right there. Why? Because that's the way they're acting. That's what they're sowing. That's what they sow. See? A lot of people steal from the company, and they want to be promoted. Don't expect it. See? He who is faithful in that which is another man's. If you're not faithful with another man's, how will God give you your own? We won't even talk about rental cars. Mm-hmm. So let's just skim right by that one. Number four. Be the person you want to become. Let me say it again. Be the person you want to become. Say that with me. Be the person you want to become. And this is many places in the Bible, but let me just take it off of 1 Timothy 3, where Paul, the apostle, is talking to Pastor Timothy. He says, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. And then he begins to list the qualifications of a bishop. A bishop then must be blameless, and on and on and on. But listen to what he started with. He didn't say if a man is a bishop, then he needs these qualifications. He said, if a man desires the position of a bishop, then let him have these qualifications. What does that mean? If you want to be trusted at this level and to be given this kind of a position, then you act like that now. Well, no, see, now it's no big deal. But when, if they give me the title, if they give me the position, then I'm going to step up. No, that's not the way it works. No, if you're faithful over the few, He'll make you rule over many. God says if He desires it, then He needs to have these qualifications. If you don't have those qualifications, then they're not going to put you up there. How many of you know it's not like in school where, you know, after you fail third grade a couple of times, the school gets embarrassed and they want to just shove you along. That's not the way it is in God's school. Mm-mm. I mean, you could sit in the third grade until it looks like you're wearing the desk. All overgrown. Everything. Well, why don't I get promoted? It's because you haven't learned how to deal with that level. That's the key. See? Deal with the level you're at. Be the person you want to become. And so if you desire to be something, start acting like that now. You desire to be in leadership or in management, you start acting like management now. Start caring about the company. Start caring about the business. Why would they trust you if you're stealing, if you're wasting? Why would they do that? Well, they're not going to do it. Anybody smart won't promote you, and God certainly won't. See? It's like somebody that really wants to be respected, really wants to be honored and valued, but they don't treat themselves with respect. The way they dress, the way they talk. They carry themselves at a very low level of living, but they want people to respect them up here. But you don't live up there. You live down here. Yeah, but if they'll, the reason I don't step up is because they don't respect me. Turn it around. The reason they don't respect you is because you don't step up. Amen. You know, you go in and you want respect from people, but some people will dress with a certain subculture. And to certain people, that's offensive. Now, I'm not saying one way of dressing is more right than another. I'm just saying if you want a certain type of person to respect you, then you need to respect them and not try to bring your approach and your subculture to force on them. We've seen it happen over and over and over. You know, somebody says, you know, I want a white collar job. I want one of those management jobs. And you go into interview. Here, you need a job, but you want to come up in management. You go to interview, and here's the guy coming up. He's got his white shirt and his tie on. He comes to interview you. You got jeans and a t-shirt on. Well, hey, I'm not going to change who I am. They need to accept me how I am. They do. You came in without a job, and they accept that. Right? Right? I tell young people all the time, dress like you already work there. Carry yourself like you already work there. Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, I know that. I know that. But it's hard for people to envision you being at that level if you don't carry yourself at that level. If you don't present yourself at that. And if you've never worn a tie before, go to somebody who has. Because how many of you know just because you put on a shirt and tie, that doesn't mean you know how to. Is that right? How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? It's on, but you're looking at it like, man, you tied that with your feet, didn't you? Man, look at that thing. Get somebody to help you. But see, the key is this level. This level. This is the level God wants you to take care of. Praise God. I had this thought come for singles. Now, this is not for all singles. This doesn't apply to everybody. But I had this thought come, and I believe it applies to some singles. That singles that desire to be married. Could it be that the person you're praying for is looking for the person that you're supposed to be? And because you set your standard high and asked for somebody high, they're looking for somebody that stepped up and is living at that level. And you're thinking, well, once they come and, you know, I get married and all that, then I'm going to start being the person that I'm called to be. I'm going to start serving God and really getting after it. Could it be that that's the person they're looking for? And you're waiting and they can't find you. See, what do? Right now, be the person that you want to become right now. And God will help you. Amen. Don't you love God's Word? Say amen. Come on, don't you love God's Word? Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today by Jerry Dearman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. To join Operation Solid Lives, Pastor Jerry's free discipleship program, get free teaching downloads and blog and Twitter updates, find a campus of The Rock near you, or to join the 2 Spy Club and help get this uncompromised teaching to the world, visit us at jerrydearman.com or write to Jerry Dearman Ministries, P.O. Box 4970, Anaheim, California, 92830.